Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 27. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. James 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to learn, to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. So my name's Georgia, for those of you that don't know me. I am a trainee vicar at the moment, an ordinand, and I'm part of St. James Church. And I'm very happy but quite daunted to be speaking on this morning. James, the book of James, is often called the Proverbs of the New Testament. And you can see, having just heard some of Proverbs, that James also is packed with those wise sayings. The book of James is written not to one church, but to churches scattered, churches that have been scattered by persecution. And most people think this is James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote this book. And it's a book of instructions, really. And it's sometimes quite a tough book to read, because you think, how do I measure up to that? And I always find that quite daunting as someone who's preaching, because I'm very conscious that when I'm preaching to me first and foremost, and I have to be doing this. So when I read this passage, I did feel quite daunted, because I know that I personally need to be impacted by this, and I need to be living it as well. I haven't cracked it, by the way. If you speak to my husband, my close friends, they will testify to this. But I do know that over the last 2 weeks, as I've been reading through this passage and praying through it, God has been speaking to me about my attitudes and the way I live my life, and I have tried to apply it. And I hope God speaks to you this morning as well, and these words impact you and they impact your life, because this is what it's about. The title really says it all. I could go and sit down now. Act on what you hear. Just do it. That's basically the message, but I will say a little bit more than that. The book of James, proportionally, because it's quite a small book, but it's a very dense book, contains more imperatives than anywhere else in the Bible. That's command words. Sit, stand, do. There's lots and lots of that in the passage that Marjorie's just read for us. Listen, rid yourself, accept the word. It's not a pally letter. It's not a, come on, let's have a go at this, shall we? Let's try and be a bit better at being a Christian. This is a direct challenge to us to walk the walk, to cut the pretense and the hypocrisy and live as though we truly believe what the Bible says. So it's not an easy message, and I don't apologise for it, but we do have a God of grace, don't we? We have a God who loves us, and he will hold us when we fall down. I could actually have preached just on the first verse. There's so much in this. The first verse says this: my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That in itself is a sermon. Actually, you could sum it up in one word. Shh. It's probably listening the most precious gift that you can give to another person. I wonder if you realise that. On Sunday evenings, I often go out dancing. I'm a big fan of dancing. And I go to a place that a group of us get together, and we all love to dance, and we dance to music. And last weekend, I was there as usual, and a guy that I've been dancing with for years came up to me, and he said, I just need to talk to you for a bit. And so we went into a quiet corner, and he began to talk to me. And he told me that he just found out he had cancer, that it was probably terminal. They hadn't caught it early enough. He talked for a long time about the impact it had on him, about his anger, his sadness, about the impact it was going to have upon his family. And at the end of the talk, he left. And I'd said very little during this. And I kept thinking afterwards, was there something I should have said? What could I have said? And I was unpacking this with a wise friend of mine there afterwards. And she said, no, you listened. And it's what he needed. And I think sometimes I realise that actually she's right. What he needed was someone who could just hear him. I didn't have the answer. I didn't have a quick fix to what is not an easy thing. And sometimes it's the hardest thing to do is just to listen to someone who needs to speak to us. The hardest time is often when you think you've got the solution. So someone's talking to you and they want you to listen. And actually you think, oh, but I know the answer to that. And we've got to try as Christians to learn that actually sometimes we just want someone to hear us. I've been married for 33 years. My husband has just about learnt that when I want to talk to him about a problem I've got, I don't want him to fix it. I just want him to listen. And that's not a peculiar just to men. This is not a get at men, because I know I'm just as guilty. If you think you've got the answer, you're like, yes, but I'm, oh, you want to get in there. But we need to be slow to speak. Being slow to speak is the same as listening, really. We need to learn that. Jesus in the Gospels, at the end of many of his parables and his teachings, says this: he who has ears, let him hear. Now, he's not presuming that the majority of people there in the crowd don't have any ears. What does he mean? Well, he means you need to really hear this. You need to be really listening. So just as much as we need to listen to one another and give that gift to one another, we need also to be listening to God, to giving him space to speak. Often our prayer life is a one-way street, isn't it? We go to God, often with a shopping list, to be honest, of things that we want him to do. And it's all good. We want God to answer prayer. We want to bring our loved ones and our friends before him. There's nothing wrong with that. But so often I think God must be so frustrated with us, because at the end of that we walk away and God's like, oh, I had so much to say to you. I had so much I wanted to impart. And so one of the things I've learnt, and particularly felt God speaking to me about through this passage, is that I need to build silence into my prayer life. To build time into my time with God where I'm not speaking at him, but I'm allowing him to speak to me. And it's really transformed my time with God. Now, I'm not saying that every time I sit down to pray, God speaks really clearly. He doesn't always. God often speaks in a very still, quiet voice. He's there in the whisper. And it's hard for people that are busy with full-time jobs or with children or grandchildren or just busy lives to do that. But I'd really encourage you to build time into, whether it's a separate time of just sitting before God and allowing him to speak. And as you develop that time of silence, God will begin to speak to you. God will begin to speak. It's a bit like we have to tune in. You know, in the old-fashioned radios before digital, where you had to tune in to your radio if you wanted. I've still got an old-fashioned one where you have to sort of tune it in. And it's a bit like that with us and God. We've got to make time to tune in to God's wavelength. Otherwise, we're going to miss so much of the richness of what it means to be a Christian. It will always be that slightly stagnant relationship where you're just coming to God with a list of things. And God's desire, his heart's desire, is to speak to you and I. How does that link into the third part of that verse? I told you I was going to concentrate a lot on this verse because it really spoke to me. Be slow to anger. Now, let me say, there's nothing wrong with getting righteously angry. There are things in this world that make me very angry, and I no doubt make you very angry. God gets angry. God gets angry with injustice and wrongs and unrighteousness. And it's a very natural emotion. But expressed wrongly, you and I know how destructive that can be. One word spoken in anger can do immense damage. And it's why I was always told to count to 10 before I spoke that word in anger. Usually I have to count to about 30, frankly, for me. That's why James talks first about being listening and being slow to speak. Because he knows that as we listen, as we bite our tongue and bite back that word, actually, often, we learn not to say those things in anger. We don't let out anger that leads to hurting someone. It's not just about the spoken word either, is it? We live in an age of instant communication. Gone are the days when you could sit down and compose a letter and then put it in a ball and throw it in the fire and then start again. Everything's really instant, isn't it? You've got all your social media, your WhatsApp, your emails, your texts, and it's just a press of the button. I wonder how many of us could honestly say we've never sent a text or email or WhatsApp that we've later thought, oh, wish I hadn't done that. Wish I'd rephrased that. So there's a real word for us in our generation, isn't it? To stop, to think, to listen to God before we do things, to take our time before we take action on things. Verse 20 goes on to say, anger, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Our anger, wrongly expressed, is not achieving God's righteousness. But let's move on from verse 19 and verse 20, and we're going to go on a bit further, because it's still about listening. It says in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word. So it isn't just about listening, this passage. It's not just about hearing. It's about then acting on that word. Interestingly, the word in Greek for obedience, i.e. acting on the word of God, is the word hupakoue. Now, aku, you can possibly hear, we get our word acoustics from it. Hupakoue is to listen and then to do. That's what obedience is. We've got to listen and we've got to make time to listen to God for that to happen. And then we do. We've got to make time to read his word and inwardly digest it in order for us then to act on it. And James uses this rather appropriate analogy of a mirror. Now, of course, mirrors in James's days weren't made of glass. They were usually made of bronze, polished bronze. You probably couldn't see yourself too clearly, which, frankly, once you're past 50, I think is, frankly, quite a good thing. I think I'm going to start having bronze mirrors in my house. I think that's a very good thing. But he uses this analogy of the mirror. So I've got a mirror here, not like the one that James would have been looking at. And he says that if you listen to the word, but you don't then act on it, you think, oh, that's good. That's a good word. But then you walk away and you don't do it. You don't act on it. You're like someone that looks in a mirror, says, oh, yeah, I see that spinach between my teeth. Puts the mirror down and walks out with your spinach still between your teeth. You don't act on what you see. Most of us, at least once a day, even if we don't like looking in the mirror, we'll look in the mirror, won't we? I usually do first thing in the morning so I don't go out and look terribly scary at people with mascara running down my face or something horrible. And it's the same with the word of God. The more we regularly listen to God in prayer, the more we regularly read our Bible and act on it, the more we're going to grow as Christians. And the more God's going to speak into the everyday bits of our life. And I find my experience is God often speaks in the unlikeliest of places and at the unlikeliest of times. And it's just for us to have that inner peace, that inner silence, even in the busyness, to hear that word. Finally, James talks to us about true religion. What he means by that is what it means to be a true or real Christian. And essentially, he says, it isn't about sitting in church on a Sunday. It isn't about listening to a sermon. It isn't about singing some hymns and then going home and forgetting about God until next Sunday. James tells us this. He says true religion is to look after orphans and widows. Now you might think, I don't know many orphans and widows. But what James is saying here is he's saying look after the vulnerable in society. In the ancient world, the orphans and widows would have been the most vulnerable in society. In a society where there was no state pensions, benefits, or NHS, people relied on their families to look after them. And for orphans and widows, they didn't have that support network. So they relied on the church, if they were part of the church, to look after them. And we need to think for ourselves, who are our orphans and widows? Who are the vulnerable in our society? And how can we reach out to them? And God wants to call us out of our comfort zone and out into our neighbourhoods to live out that word and to bear other people's burdens, to get alongside them, sometimes just to listen to them, sometimes to offer practical support, a bit like the Beacon Group have been doing, giving out hampers to food hampers for those in need this summer. But yes, sometimes just to be there, just to give people space to talk and for you to listen. Because actually, it is about listening. Because if we act, we start to do before we listen, we are just do-gooders. We need to spend time before God and with each other, making sure that when we go out, what we're doing is what God wants us to do, not what we think we ought to do. We need to sit before we walk. I'll leave you with one quote. Some of you will know that I teach classics, so it's a Latin and Greek. And the philosopher Zeno, who was living around 2,400 years ago, said this. He said, "We have two ears and one mouth, so we should listen more than we speak." Amen.